and our lives. Now, I have a little prize here, and I'm going to give this away this morning to one of the children, okay, who is obedient. Do you understand what that word means? That means none of them, is that right? We were going to offer it to the grown-ups, but we didn't think we'd find one. It was obedient. So this would be the... Is there any child that thinks you're obedient enough? All you have to do is do as you're told. Is there any of you who are good at doing as you're told? Maybe. Well, I'm going to leave you here now. And later on, we'll see if we can get you just to do as you're told. Eddie, you're good at doing as you're told? Okay, we're not giving anything for honesty, but that's good. Glad that you're honest. Know what I love about the Bible? I love the honesty of the Bible. I love the things when it just takes things that you and I would find almost impossible, and that almost to God is just matter of fact. And here's one here. It speaks of Peter, and it just says the chains fell off. That's what it says. It just says that the chains fell off. Now, he's tied in a prison between two soldiers, and the chains just fall off. You remember the book of Genesis when it says God made the sun and the moon? And then it just says this: he also made the stars. Imagine just, he also made the stars. Do you mean it's like your child coming in from school and saying, what have you done today? Oh, we did some PE, and then we did some sums. Oh, and I created a cure for cancer. And you're thinking, how could you do all that together? It seems impossible. You could just throw that in. We see the stars at night. You can't count the stars. You cannot count the stars. And yet the Bible says, and God just made the stars. The story we're going to look at, it was nothing for God. It's absolutely nothing for God to do this. Let me read this to you. You find in Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, that's Peter, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him. So the 16 soldiers are guarding this one man, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, that was the same night, the night before, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision or a dream perhaps. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them by its own accord. The Greek word is automia, which from the word we get automatic. So this was the first automatic door in the world. It just opened automatically for them. And it just opened so they could get out. And it says, where are we? And went out and along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizes Peter's voice, in her joy she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hands to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell these things to James and to his brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had happened to Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries or the soldiers and ordered them that they should be put to death. Then he, Peter, went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent some time there. One of the things that we should value is suffering. Now, that's not something we would normally want to value in our life. Let me give you some verses to show you why suffering is all part of God's plan for your life and for mine. We meet this man Herod here. Now, he is the grandson of Herod the Great. This is Herod who killed the children when Jesus was born. He is also the nephew of Herod Antipas. So it seems in this whole family, there are three Herods, and they're all engaged either in the life of Jesus or the life of the apostles. And it seems the whole family was evil. When you start from Herod the Great, and then you go to Herod Antipas, and then you come to this Herod, all of them seem to be wicked men. Isn't it amazing when God steps into a family like that and makes a difference? We've got a young girl working with Mad Ministry. She started this week. Her name is Danielle. Danielle is 18 years of age. At the age of 15, Danielle became a Christian. Danielle used to swear at her teachers at the high school. She used to give them a lot of grief. Both her brothers are in prison right now. Her younger brother is only 17. He's in jail. The older one's 24. The older ones get 4-year jail sentence. We believe it's for dealing in drugs. And God has stepped in and beginning to make a difference in this, what the world might see as an evil family. And she prays for her brothers that they would become Christians. Danielle's working with Mad Ministries for a year. She's a character and a half. She said to me the other day, Brian, shut up or I'll punch your face. That's what she said. I could have said, I pay your wages, but we don't. We get her for nothing. And so Danielle's going to be working. So pray for her. Tomorrow she's going into, she's got a whole bunch of schools tomorrow. She'll be with us. But she'll go away with Jenny tomorrow into Kafkin High School. And there's a bunch of girls there who think they're really smart and swagger about the school. Danielle will sort them out in a minute. So pray for her. She'll have a big impact on those girls tomorrow. And just in the primary schools, it's great to see God changing her life. And she's praying now for her brothers. And the amazing thing is, her brothers, one of her brothers attended Pentland Primary School. Now we go to Pentland Primary School. We call that the Naughty Boys School. There's only 20 children in the school. It's a little school, but they've got so many problems and issues with these little boys. First time we went to the school, a boy tried to hang himself. Can you believe that? 10 years of age. And they've now stopped that. They've finded the room so they can't take the lagging off the pipes and try and tie it around his neck. These poor wee soldiers, two boys in that school, and they attend and they live in the same street. And they get taxis to school. But because they fight, they don't allow them to use the same taxi. They don't get the same taxi to school and the same taxi home. The council has to pay for two separate taxis because two boys in the same street don't go on with one another. But they've ended up in this little school. It's an amazing school. You won't meet teachers like these. They're a fantastic bunch of people. How committed they are to them. Well, Danielle's brother, we found out this week, attended that school. So she'll know us. So we said, next time you speak to him at the jail, tell him that Mr. Lowry and Jenny were asking after him. Hopefully he'll remember some of the things that we shared in those assemblies. So here we have this wicked family. As at that time Herod, the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. It's amazing what those in power will do just to be liked, isn't it? We know our politicians are like that. They'll give a vote or they'll back something if they know it's to their political advantage. And Herod knew this is to his advantage to kill James, to put Peter in prison and wait until it would be the best time. When he's got the attention of the Jews, he would wait until the festival's over and now he would bring out Peter and he would do the same. But God has another plan for Peter and another plan for us, because through Peter we would get the epistles that Peter has written. James is killed by the sword, we are told. Perhaps he was beheaded. You wonder how Peter gets to live, yet James has to die as a martyr. Other than Stephen, who wasn't an apostle, James is the first of the apostles. Most of the apostles were martyred for their faith. Most of them suffered. Jesus replied to them. You remember the time when James and John, they came to Jesus and said, "Can we sit at your right-hand side and your left-hand side?" Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized?" And James and John said, "Yes, we can drink that cup." And it would come a day when James would have to drink that cup, because now James is dead. So where is the value in suffering? "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace," says Jesus. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus said, the world will give you grief, but be encouraged. I have overcome the world. But you're thinking, okay, but where is the value in the suffering? Beloved, don't be surprised at the fire of trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Sometimes Christians seem quite alarmed that the world might make fun of us or mock us for having different values from them. The Bible said, don't be surprised by that. We spent a couple of hours just a week ago. There's a young girl I was speaking up in Teen Ranch, and I said, and the staff, it was a staff conference. I said, "I don't assume you're all Christians, by the way. I never make that assumption." So maybe God's brought you here to hear this message today. And over the weekend, I explained how individuals need Christ in their life, how needed repentance and faith, which are gifts by God. And then Sunday morning, this girl came out to the front, tears in her eyes, and she says, "My life's a mess." She goes to a Catholic all-girls school in Glasgow, and the girls are all out drinking and doing all sorts of stuff every weekend. And she came and she says, "You said maybe we're not here by chance. I don't think I'm here by chance. I think I'm here to hear this message." And I had the privilege of sitting down and leading her to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's now a Christian. She's doing well, but she was struggling at school. So she asked to meet us. We went for a wee bite to eat and just to chat with her, to pray with her. And she's now finished high school. And she's heading in a couple of weeks' time back up to Teen Ranch, to Perthshire. And she's going to work there for a year. She goes, "I want to grow in my Christian faith." It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy for these young people. That's why we need to pray for them. The world is screaming at them, "Come this way, do this, do this, do this." And they have to listen to the voice of truth. There's only one voice of truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. The world will sell you everything, but leave us empty. So we don't think it's strange when we get trials and sufferings in our life. Paul describes our trials as this light momentary affliction. Sometimes we think, oh no, the whole world's falling apart. But Paul says, compared to eternity, they're only a light momentary affliction. For us, as an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Children and young people, God wants you to look for the invisible. You're thinking, how can you see the invisible? Can anybody see the invisible? How can you see the invisible? The invisible is the kingdom of God. The invisible is God himself, because we can't see him with our eyes. That's why you need to exercise faith. Now, Eddie, you're going to help me here. Let me get something in here. Eddie, hold on, I'll get my wee bag. But Eddie, out you come. But Eddie, here. Put your hand in there and take out what's in it. Okay, show everybody. Okay, take it out and stop messing with it. Eddie's a man. Hiya, take it out. Nothing, right, unzip it then. Right, put your hand, what's in there now? Oh, see? A puppet. Okay, close it. Aye, sorry, I can close it back up. You know, some people think that Christians were just We're believing absolutely nothing, that we've kissed our brain goodbye. But we asked them to have a really good look. See if you have a good look in here, look. I don't know how you missed this. How did you miss it? In heaven and earth, did you miss that? I mean, how did you miss that? Thank you. Don't clap, throw money. Thank you, Eddie. And you know, the world thinks we have got nothing, and we have got absolutely everything in Jesus Christ. But here's one of my favourite verses. God comforts us in our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Have you ever met someone that says, I know how you feel? And you're looking at them, you're thinking, you have no idea how I feel. I don't mean to offend you, but you don't actually know. Or I know what you're going through. And whereas they think, you can't possibly know what I'm going through. But the Bible says God comforts us so that we can give the same comfort to others. God will allow you to go through a trial and a tribulation and time of suffering because he wants to use that to help others. We were working with a girl called Linda who became a Christian at one of her camps, and she's been a cocaine addict for about 7 years, and she's up and down and struggling. I said, Lord, I'll bring you through this, Linda. And there'll be a time you'll sit there and you'll say to some junkie, look, I know what it's like. And they go, yes, I do. We've got a guy coming to speak at our Dads and Lads who was a heroin addict for 8 years, and we took him into one of our high schools recently to tell his story to the high school kids. He brought his wife in, and she brought a wee baby, and she turns and said to the fourth year students, guys, listen, we are what you call real Bible bashers. And she said, this message has changed us. Now, will that suffering that they went through as an addict, would that have been wasted? It looks to us as a wasted life. All the suffering that Paul went through was for our benefit, that we could learn through his suffering. And if you're suffering, I pray that God will give you grace to endure this suffering. He will undergird you. The Bible says underneath are his everlasting arms, that God will uphold you. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. But he will use this. Suffering has a great value. This is how I pray for suffering. Lord, take it away. That's how I pray. You're probably the same as me because we're cowards at heart and we don't like discomfort. Every time I go to the dentist, before he starts on me, I say, can you check my record? It says somewhere on there, I'm allergic to pain. And he says, not today. You're not. And he goes, he's not actually full time. He just fills in. So, there's a great value to suffering, as we see here. There is a great value to prayer. And you'll see it says here, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now, I'm stating the obvious here when I'm saying that they prayed to God. I hope you pray to God. Do you mean that you're not just... I mean, I speak to young people and I say, have you prayed about it? And they'll say, oh, I told God. I said, no, God already knew about it. Did you actually pray about it? Or they'll say, God doesn't answer prayer. I say, why is that? Because I prayed and nothing happened. How many times did you pray? And they'll say, oh, just the once. And now they assume, well, we're not like that. We're earthly parents, are we? Kids are moaning their face off. Gimme, 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 gimme. And that's it. And we could learn a lesson for them, just for keep asking. And we should come to God like this as well. But see the word that says, for earnest prayer for him was made. The word earnest, it's a medical word. And it actually means to exercise a muscle. So it means to stretch or to strain for this. They wanted Peter out of jail. And they were straining for it in their prayers. They were stretching for it. God, give us this. And you know, see, the more you exercise the muscle of prayer, the stronger it will become. And it will be your first reaction when something happens. Good news or bad news. Good news, you'll respond immediately in gratitude to God. Bad news, you will exercise this muscle, this earnest prayer. And this is what they're doing. They see the value of prayer. How many times have you people saying, oh, the only thing we can do is pray about it? The only thing we can do about it is pray about it. So I can talk to all of you about it, or I could talk to Almighty God, who holds the breath of all mankind in his hand. So what is the best? Surely it's not the best talking to you about it. The best is talking to God about it. So it's not the least we can do, and it's the best we can do. And meantime, here he is. He's in prison. And we are told that God sends his angel. This is not the first time this has happened to Peter. This is the second time. You read it in Acts 5. It's the second time he's been delivered from prison. You'll also notice that it happened just at the night before he was about to stand before Herod in the morning. And Herod would have killed him, just like he did with James. But God had a greater plan for Peter's life. And I told my brother once, don't you think God likes photo finishes? I think God loves a photo finish. For some reason, he likes to leave things to the 11th hour. Why can't he just do it earlier? And God will say, wait, wait, wait. Do you ever watch Zulu? That movie. And there he is, and they're going, wait, wait. And they're all the young men are like, I'll shoot them. And they're going, wait, wait. God's got this. God goes, wait, wait. And sometimes it will be the photo finish. And here it is. God could have rescued him during that whole week. And the amazing thing, what is Peter doing? He's sleeping. How do you sleep the night before you've been executed? How's that possible? Only the presence of God could have done this for Peter. God gave him his peace that Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping so much that the angel had to give him a wee kick. He gets up and he says, Peter, get up. And he obviously didn't answer. He was such a deep sleep. And we've got a lot in our mind. We can't sleep. It's amazing the peace the Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. He gives his beloved rest. And that's what he's doing for Peter. And Watson, I think it was Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, that said this. The angel fetched Peter from the prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. And this is true. It was prayer that fetches the angel. And here they go. And this time he's not sure what's happening. He thinks that perhaps it's a dream. The angel takes him out and leads him outside. And then we're told when they get to the iron gates of the city, they just open. Now, how is that possible? Right, Brian, you're going to help me here. And we'll take... Daniel, you come. Here we go, buddy. Right, stick this on right here. Take this. Take the wee padlock off. Well, I'm choosing you, Brian, because you look kind. Okay, put it back on as tight as you can get it.
Make his hand go blue, will it?
If you hear something crack, that'll be my bone, like that there. That's all right, that'll do.
It's all right.
I'll get another one for the second hand shop.
Oh. Your jokes don't get any better. Many times you heard that one, Jenny.
You got it?
That's no lock. That's no one to lock.
Oh, push it up. Come on, don't be a... And you go.
Nah, you've got faulty lock.
You got it?
No, it's a faulty
lock.
I think
you take the key out of the lock and then push it up.
Duh.
Okay, next time I won't choose a dafty. Okay, oh. On you go.
Jenny, do you really need them?
So, here you go, Daniel. Just watch that watch there. That was $6.50 on eBay. It's not even working, you see. I should have went for the £7 one.
This paddle's awful, isn't it?
Have you got it? I do the same thing. If you take the key out, you should get it nice and tight.
I see, 11's been my mistake.
It does. You got it between two? You got it? Perfect, that's all we're looking for. Now, could I borrow...
I can keep the key now, yeah?
We'll I just leave the keys on there, that'll be fine. You might even win the prize. And the Bible just says, can I borrow your jacket? Can you hold the jacket up for me? Come over here. Good lad. Is it Graham?
Yeah.
Graham, thank you, Graham. But Graham, cover it up. But Graham, come down the side. Just round here. Just stand there. Graham, thanks for your jacket. Oh, we've done it, Graham. Thank you. And we're told that the gates just opened. This man really should have lost his life. And here is the amazing part. They come. And it's time to exercise or value this gift called faith. They come here and do they have great faith? No, they have great praying though. We're told that they're earnest in their praying, but their faith seems so tiny. Why do we know that? Because when they got to the door, this happens. She recognised Peter's voice, but in her joy she didn't open the gate. She ran to report to others who were standing there. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." Feel free to use that, gents. Any lady, you see, it's biblical. "You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind." What have they just been praying for? That Peter would have a good night's sleep? Surely they're praying for his release. We had a great surprise this week. We were praying to go into some schools to do a holiday club. We're doing two holiday clubs in the October school week, one in Hamilton, one in Motherwell. Now, there's three schools we want access to. Now, we don't work in those schools regularly, although I've been in all of them. And we decided to phone. Now, one lady, she's a head teacher, used to be in Lark Hall when she's moved now to Hamilton. Now, she's a wee bit of a nippy sweetie when we worked with her in the past. And we phoned her up thinking, look, if she doesn't let us into the school, all we want is a poster in the school then, or just leave some leaflets so the kids can take them. And we phoned her, she didn't phone back. I said, oh, she's not phoning back. When she got a new job in the school, we sent her a wee card. You know that one that's your man, Sugar? It says, you're fired. And we got one that says, you're hired. And we sent that to her, just to try and sweeten her up. So when we phoned her, she would let us in. But we prayed, Lord, open the door. We want to go into this school. And we phoned her this week. And I said, hello, it's Brian here. I said, I phoned her a day to speak to Mrs. B. And she goes, hello, Brian, it's me. I said, oh, how are you doing? I said, oh, I'm just returning the call again. Blah, blah, blah. And I chat with her. I said, we're doing this, we're doing this. And she says, I said, can we give the leaflets out in the school for the holiday club? And, or better than that, Leslie, could we get 5 minutes in the assembly? Just 5 minutes, that's all we need. And she says, why don't you do all the assembly? You can take half an hour. And just she goes, it's best if they see all that you do rather than just a little 5 minute promo. And we were surprised by that. Almost like this lady Rhoda, we were surprised because we know what she's been like in another school. But the Lord has opened the door in two of those three schools. So pray for Woodside Primary. I phoned the other day and I said, if your head teacher doesn't phone me back, she's not getting a Christmas present. And so let's pray that Jan phones me back this week so we can get into those three schools as well. And here they are. You're out of your mind. And the world thinks we're out of our mind because we even pray. But we ought not to be. Prayer is so valuable. Nobody can stop our prayers. The government can stop us going into our schools if they wish. They can shut down our churches, but they can't stop us praying. This is a great, valuable gift that God has given to us. And finally, the other one was perseverance. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope that does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God wants us to persevere in our Christian lives. And you know, patience produces character. And troubles produce patience. And we find it hard when we're going through our trials, but God is producing something in them. This valuable thing that you and I need, perseverance. It's easy to give up. Seek the Lord and his strength and his presence continually. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep seeking his strength. Keep seeking his presence. If you think God is distant, where did you lose him? Where did you leave Jesus? Did you leave him at the Word? Go back to the Word. You will find him there. Did you leave him after a sin? Confess it and go back. The Lord is waiting. The Lord is there. Seek him continually. Persevere. Some people just give up so easily. They've had enough. Our young people, we took some teenagers up a hill once, and this girl, I can't be bothered. Debbie, her name was. What are we doing this for? I said, keep walking, Debbie. And we're walking up the hill years ago when I lived in England. And then she says, I've arranged for us to meet, take that, at the top of the hill. And she says, no, I said, I have. And so that's why we took up the hill, because They don't want all people around. We just meet them ourselves. So she kept walking. She kept walking all the way. It took about an hour and a half to get to the top of this hill. And we then had breakfast. We were going back down for breakfast. And we went up this hill. And then she goes, "So where are they?" That was her. She wanted to just give up 25 times. "So where are they?" I says, "Debbie, look at the view. Take that. Take that." Says, "Isn't that amazing?" I think she kicked me all the way down. All the way down the hill. How easy it is to want to give up. We have to take again the hand of God, who said he would never leave us or forsake us. And listen, this is how they responded. But motioned to their hands. They must have been so excited. He described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And at the end, Herod brings in the guards. And Herod, you can tell what he's like. In his imagination, he thinks that 16 men can guard a man of God. Only needs God to protect a man or woman of God. And you've got these 16, he wakes up and goes, "Where is he? Where is my chief prisoner? What do you mean he's escaped?" And he brings in these 16 men, these four groups of four guards who were protecting him throughout the night. And he has all of them killed. My answer to Herod would be, "Herod, how do you think you could protect a man against God? God is protecting this man. God is bringing him out of this prison." And how does its story finish? Well, we know Peter goes on and proclaims the gospel. We know he eventually died a martyr's death for the Saviour Jesus Christ. What about Herod? Well, in verse 20 to 24, we read these words. On the appointment day, Herod was wearing his royal robes. He sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is not the voice of a god, sort of a god, nor a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, the angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. God just says, "Herod, you've had your time. I've put up with you. Now you can go off the stage of history. And the word of God will keep going." Paul says, "I am in prison, but the word of God is not bound." The word of God is not bound. We find all of these things in the book of Acts. Now let me see if I can give the best behaved my little present. Who do we think should get it, Jenny? But all you need to do, are you good at just behaving yourself? Can you do as you're told? Can you do as you're told? I doubt it. Doubt it. Okay, up you come then. Just see if you can do as you're told. What God wants us to do is to listen to him and to obey him. That's what God wants us to do. Not to do our own thing, but to obey him. And God gives us gifts. The gift of faith. The gift of prayer, the gift even of suffering and of perseverance, those are gifts given to us by God. See, when I say press it, you just do. Okay?
You could use that for upstairs, Jay.
Okay? Now you just hold it, stand in there. Okay? How old are you?
Six.
How old?
Six.
Right, I'm going to. If you can do as you're told every single time, this present's yours. No, don't touch it till I tell you. Put your finger over there, right? Right, what we're going to do. Right, stand over beside Jenny. Don't touch it. Right, turn around, face everybody. Right.
Do you understand? Don't touch it. Okay, can you hold it in one hand? Right, no. She can do as she's told. Yeah. Do you? You put it on the table then. Stop touching it. Was that you? Who was it? Was it Jenny? I think it was Jenny. And then you hold that there. Right, you come and see me at the end. You're not getting a special present because you can't do as you're told.
Oh,
isn't that shocking?
It is harsh, but he's a good bit. Your dad's giving you. That's two happy meals. Fantastic. That's all you need. May God give all of us a fresh vision, if you like, of the value of prayer, of the value of faith, and of the value of even suffering, and the value of perseverance. See the amazing things that God did in the life of Peter. And you know what? I think, and please hear me right when I say this, God is still writing the book of Acts. And what I mean by this is that God, the same God in the book of Acts, is the same God who's alive today. And he wants to see us. I think God loves to surprise us. He likes to surprise us. We need to pray bigger prayers instead of just bless my sore foot. I mean, God wants us to ask bigger things because we have a great, amazing God. And nothing is too difficult for him. Can I just ask you, before we do a wee final song, to pray for our dads and lads? We're going up to Perth. See what we did there? Journey to the centre of Perth. See that? Get that? And so we're taking our fathers and sons up to Perth. If you know anybody that still wants to join us, we've still got spaces. And the men are really slow getting organised. But we've got a whole bunch of new boys coming from some of our schools who have never been before. Pray for the men who come. That God will really speak to them. Pray for Ricky. He's the man that's going to share his testimony on the Saturday night. Pray for David and myself. We will be running the weekend. And pray for the kids who come, that God will really bless them. Pray for the funding for the kids. Some of the boys can't afford to come to these camps, so we help fund these kids who can't afford it. Thomas, we said to Thomas this week, Thomas, are you coming to Dads and Lad? He says, my dad hates me. That's what he says. He says, my dad hates me. I said, Thomas, and his mum's just come out of a psychiatric hospital the day before. Pray for Tracy. She's got Thomas and a wee girl who's in second year of high school. And the mum's got so many issues in her life. Thomas is a great little boy. We'd love him to come. Pray that somebody will bring Thomas, maybe an uncle or somebody from the Ebenezer Church would come and take Thomas. The mum will let him go. She says to me, can Thomas come? He's eight. I said, yeah, but he has to come with a dad or a grown-up. And so just pray that somebody will bring Thomas and God will provide for him and the others to come and join us at our weekend. Now we're going to do this. God can do anything. Now, Jenny, what gives a reaction for this? Now, this song gets a wee bit crazy. So Jenny gives an action for this. I don't think we've sung this one here. Perfect. And when we get to the final slide, which looks like that, we do our guitars, children. So we go one, two. You have to wait for the third one. That's how the song finishes. You definitely need to stand up for this. Okay, let's stand up. If you're able. Okay.
God can do anything at all. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him and nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. Don't put him in the bus, don't shove him in the corner. Don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in the bus, don't shove him in the corner. Don't you limit what he can do. God can do anything, anything at all. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him and nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. Don't put him in the box, don't shove him in the corner. Don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in the box, don't shove him in the corner. Don't you limit what he can do. God can do anything, anything at all. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him and nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in a corner. Don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in a corner. Don't you limit what he can do. God can do anything, anything at all. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him and nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. Put him about the shaman corner, don't you live what he can do. Don't put him about the shaman corner, don't you live what he can do. Hold it there, here we go, guitars. Three times. Wait. Well done. Nothing is impossible for God. I feel bad that I didn't give you a prize. I'm going to give you £40. How's that? So here's the first 20. And here's the second 20. Would you like that £40? Or would you like your dad to give you £5? Do you want the 40 or do you want your dad's 5? What do you think? No, what I would do, I would take your dad's 5. Because that is gone. And your dad will give you your £5. Thank you. Lord bless you. Thank you, Daniel.
Well, that was a strong finale. Eric Puddy has two girls. Thank you so much, Lord, for the laughter and the teaching that comes through your word. Thank you, Lord, that you know how to take us from wherever you are and to bring the message across to us. I pray, Lord, that we'll have the minds to accept it, the hearts to receive it, so that we'll live from this place not just the same way as we came, Lord, but with the salvation and with hope, with strength for the suffering maybe that some of us it's awaiting for us as we get out from these doors. Lord, till that moment, please bless our time together here. We thank you for this food that you provided for us. Bless this fellowship together, and we especially pray for Brian and his ministry, these lads and sons meeting that they're having in Perth, and the assemblies in the schools. Continue, Lord, to open doors for them to bring your word. Especially pray for Sarah, that your hand will be upon her and she will be returned safely from the hospital and healed, Lord. And for Jenny and everybody that is involved in the MAD ministries, Lord, that they will make a difference indeed by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. The men will give us a hand, please, with the chairs too. Can somebody tell us how many tables we need?
Six.
Thank you. And the boys, David and